Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. And that is 6330 area code has requested our first Wild Card Wednesday song, and that's Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. You're the reason our kids are ugly.
And she still loves him, though. That's that's a really romantic song. That's true love.
Yeah, absolutely. Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. A couple of legends right there.
Legends, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty funny. I will say that's pretty funny. You're the reason our kids are ugly. See, that's a great title. That's a great title for a country song. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Would that title be appropriate in any other genre of music? I don't think so. I think that title can only be a country song. You're the reason our kids are ugly. All right. Hi, welcome back, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome to Wednesday, yeah. You can get to that in a little bit. We were talking about yesterday was National Siblings Day. And Dan, did you celebrate National Siblings Day with your bros?
I was unaware it was National Siblings Day, so we did not celebrate.
Oh, okay. Have you ever celebrated National Siblings Day in the past? I don't think if you always forget it's there.
Yeah, no.
What would you do if you were going to celebrate National Siblings Day?
Well, we were at a birthday party over the weekend, and it was family friends we've literally known our entire lives. Mm-hmm. So what we did was just share like the most embarrassing stories each of us had about each other.
What was the story they shared about you, Dan?
Well, they didn't get to it. Because
Wait a minute, what?
I kept piling on my brothers and... You know, so by the time my turn came around, it was time to eat, so...
Ah, so you got out of it then?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, but there are no embarrassing stories concerning you?
No, of course not. I was the firstborn. I had to hold up the mantle of the name.
That's right. And you were the firstborn, which is why they didn't tell any stories about you, because you made sure of it.
The smart one.
Because you're the firstborn, man.
Yeah.
How many years between each of you?
There's 2 years between Roger and I, and then 6 years between David and I.
Okay. All right. Well, that must be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, cool. Esmeralda, did you celebrate National Siblings Day with your brother?
I did not.
Oh, no!
I know.
How would you celebrate it with your brother if you were going to celebrate National Siblings Day?
Oh.
Would you tell embarrassing stories about him?
Yeah, we do that all the time.
Do that all the time. I guess that's a thing that brothers and sisters do, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Probably just sit at the kitchen table at home and watch TV.
There you go.
And eat something.
And eat something. That sounds like a celebration to me.
That's what we always do.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't celebrate National Siblings Day because I don't have any siblings. Is there an Only Child Day?
Wasn't there?
I believe so. I think we've celebrated it in the past.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I always forget. I mean, I don't know. National Only Child. Can you... Maybe there's a specific date for it. We can look it up. I do remember that we talked about celebrities who were only children. And there's a surprising amount. I mean, there are a lot of celebrities who are only children. So, I just remember... I don't know why the one that pops into my head immediately, Dan... I have no idea why it's Laura Dern. That's the first one that popped into my head. I have no reason. One, I love her. I think she's outstanding. And but I just remember specifically going, oh, Laura Dern's an only child.
According to this website,
yeah,
Thursday, April 12th.
Oh, today? No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Only Child Day. We need to celebrate that. Us only children need to stick together, man.
Because you don't get enough attention already.
That's right. It's, you know, it's weird to me to, you know, because I can't imagine it. Well, obviously I can't imagine it because, I don't have any siblings. I was very, very, when I was growing up, I was really, really close to two of my cousins. And would stay with them all the time. And at one point they lived like right down the street from us. And so they felt like we were so close that we felt like we were brothers and sisters, and they were just a few years older than me. I was the younger of the three, and so that was a really as close that I've ever gotten to having any kind of sort of relationship that seems like siblings. That's my cousin Kathy and my cousin Jeff, and Jeff passed away at a young age. So we were really, really tight when I was growing up. So that was part of that sort of sibling-like experience. But living with someone, you know, maybe sharing a bedroom or any of that stuff, never never did that. And you know, and only children have a lot of time on their own. You know, like I played a lot by myself, and I did like imaginary stuff and all that crazy stuff. But anyway, so tomorrow is National Only Children Day. I think everybody should buy me something. because my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, because again, as an only child, you didn't get enough presents growing up. I'm actually surprised you're willing to share National Only Child Day with other people, because National, you know, you're the only child.
I should be
like
the only
child.
It should just be Nick Day, because I am the only child that matters. The only child that matters. No, I'm kidding. I was not that spoiled when I grew up. I mean, obviously, you're going to be spoiled because you're an only child, and that all the attention that the parents and relatives have goes to you because you're the only one that's there. But I was not spoiled. I didn't get everything I wanted because we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up. If we did, I'm sure they would have bought me a lot of stuff, but out of necessity, they couldn't, you know? And I will say this, that's one of the things that I learned at a very young age. I've learned about finances at a very young age in my household. That's one of the reasons why I thought Papa was a Rolling Stone when I was a kid. Whatever he let his hat was home. When he died, all he left us was a loan. That's why I thought they were in debt. And that's, when I was a little kid when I heard that song, and I was like, oh man, they got to pay all that off. And I knew that because of personal experience. So that's the main reason why I thought it was about. And then when I remember looking at the lyrics written and going, oh, alone as in by themselves. I thought they had to pay off. I thought he was in debt. He died, and then the family had to pay off his loan. That should say something, I think. All right. Well, we're going to talk about famous siblings. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Because there are a lot of famous siblings, and we have some serious accomplished set of siblings, and then, of course, we have the famous Hollywood family and siblings. But we're going to get to the accomplished ones a little bit later, because that list is really interesting. Some of which you don't really know about. Like, for instance, why do I not know about, here we go. Louisa May Alcott was the author of Little Women. By the way, I knew that, you know why? Because I played authors when I was a kid, and Louisa May Alcott was one of the authors that it was in the cards. I didn't know about Abigail May Alcott. Did you know that, Dan?
I did not.
I didn't know. Esmeralda, did you know she had a sister?
No.
Louisa May Alcott is best known for best-selling novel Little Women, which is based on her experience growing up with three sisters. But Louisa's younger sister, the inspiration for Amy March in Little Women, was an accomplished artist in her own right. Abigail, who went by May, had shown vast artistic promise as a child and a young adult, even covering the walls and window frames of the family home with sketches of people and animals. And Louisa used a portion of her newfound fortune to further May's training. After studying art in Boston, London, Rome, and Paris, May lived in France and earned spots for her still life and oil paintings in the Paris Salon's exhibitions. I had no idea. That's pretty cool. Don't you think they should make a movie out of that? Doesn't that sound like wouldn't that be a really good movie? You know?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Get like Elle Fanning to play her or something?
Get actual sisters.
Get Dakota, because she's older. That would be good. Look at this. We should copyright this right next. Somebody's going to steal this.
And then you can have them star opposite Cheech and Chong.
In Bong Marine, as Esmeralda and I have. Nobody's going to steal that idea, Esmeralda. That idea is all ours.
By the way, Esmeralda, in case you didn't know, we got you a belated gift of the Best Submarine Movie podcast Monday morning when you were off.
We talked about submarine movies.
Oh, boy.
And we got an hour out of it, too.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. We did. And we had tons of submissions. Because I remember when I was like, we should do best submarine movies. You're like, how long of a segment's that going to be? You were thinking it was going to be like 2 minutes.
Did you flesh out more of Bong Marine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked all about Bong Marine.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
But not beyond anything that you and I have already discussed, because that's right. Our idea.
Exactly.
We're we've collaborating on that one.
Yeah. I've already mailed myself the postcard to copyright it. So that's we're done. We're
all
set.
All right, good. And Shark Tank next week. What do you think?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Mark Cuban would put money in behind Bong Marine.
Right. We should quit our jobs now.
Let's quit right now. Fly to L.A., go to Shark Tank, and it's done.
We're
going to
be movie producers.
I wonder, do you think Mark Cuban smokes weed? You think he blows weed? He can afford it. All right, so now the Louisa May Alcott and Abigail May Alcott, that's my story. I'm copyrighting them.
Right, that's fine.
Dakota,
I can have a co-credit. Dakota
and Elle are our cast. Dakota Fanning and Elle Fanning are in it. That's it. But seriously, I think that would make an interesting movie. The younger sister of Louisa May Alcott is an artist. I think that would make I think that's cool. I wonder if anybody, I bet people have written about it, right? There's got to be like a book about it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in this. There's got somebody would write about it because it wouldn't be in this article if nobody knew about it. Okay, so that's just one of the seriously accomplished sets of siblings that we're going to talk about, and we want to hear from you guys. We're talking about celebrity siblings, famous siblings, and what did you do with your? Did you celebrate National Sibling Day, or will you celebrate Only Child Day tomorrow? So there you go. All right, 312-981-7200 for our sibling talk and also for your Wildcard Wednesday requests.
Yeah.
You're the reason our kids are ugly. I don't know if you can see down here in the Showcase studio, but we got the strobe lights going in full effect. Yeah. It's Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? Jesse requesting Hashim with The Soul. I wonder if that was from the 80s. Any idea, Dan? Was that from the 80s?
I am attempting to find out information about Hashim. I'm not coming up on much.
I think that, that sounded a little 80s. Esmeralda, didn't that sound suspiciously 80s?
Very much so. House.
Yeah. Yep.
House music, 80s.
Maybe your landlord, Dan, had something to do. Your ex-landlord had something to do.
Yeah, Georgie Porgy. 1983,
there you go. That was the year Esmeralda was born, the year I graduated high school. How old am I? Old. National Siblings Day was yesterday, but more importantly, National Only Child Day is tomorrow. And we are talking about famous siblings and some interesting stories about accomplished sets of siblings from the past. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, Esmeralda, when we talk about siblings, what's the first sort of family that pops into your head?
I can see them. The apple, one bad apple.
Oh, the Osmonds.
Osmonds, yeah.
That's the first. Really, that's the first ones that popped into your head.
That's when you said that. I was thinking because of their
teeth,
pretty,
their
well,
teeth, and everything.
I was thinking their pretty hair.
Oh yes, they all have good hair. Yeah, the Osmonds. They because there were. I mean,
there's
how
so many of them, right? But
well, they, yeah, there
only
were,
Donnie and Marie kind of were the ones that
Donnie
stuck
and,
out.
Donnie and Marie obviously were the breakout Osmonds, but there was Jimmy Osmond. What was there Ozzy Osmond? No, there wasn't Ozzy Osmond. Jimmy Osmond. Dan, can you look up how many Osmonds there were?
The Osmond brothers began as a barbershop quartet consisting of Alan, Wayne, Merrill, and Jay. They were eventually joined by younger siblings Donnie and Jimmy.
Wow.
Yeah, those teeth.
Wait a minute, is Marie the only girl? Because they're Mormons. So they probably have 53 kids, right?
She is the only girl listed on.
Whoa! Oh, that had to be a pain for her, right? And she's the is she the youngest? Is Marie the youngest, or would Jimmy be the youngest? Because I think Because I know she's younger than
there's
Donnie.
In these pictures, at least, there's a smaller kid.
That's Jimmy. Jimmy was the youngest. Yeah, so, but Marie must have been, like, the second youngest.
Yeah, Marie, born in 59, Jimmy born in 63.
Okay, so Jimmy was the youngest, born in 63.
They all got some teeth, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, teeth? Like, no teeth.
And they all have very round, well, not all of them, but a few of them have very round faces.
Yes, they do. They were adorable, though. And they had a lot of hits. The Osmond brothers had a lot of hits. They had a lot. I'm just really, Esmeralda, why would the Osmonds pop into your head?
I don't know. It's that hair. Because they all have that same
sound of the,
like,
bowl cut.
Helmet.
Yeah, the bowl cut. The mo.
Surrounding their heads.
Yeah, that's the mo. It's the, if you're bald, that's the curly. And if you're completely bald, that's the curly. If you're bald and you have some scruff of hair that's messy, that's the Larry. As George Costanza says, nobody goes into a barber and says, give me the Larry fine. So, but yeah, they had the Mo. They had the Mo Howard haircut. Even, I think at one point, even Marie did. They had all matching, like, Bob Bowl haircuts. And Donnie and Marie's TV show was huge, man. You know, I got to tell you, you know, they would do these opening numbers. Have you ever seen any reruns of the old school Donnie Marie Esmeralda?
I've seen bits and pieces of their shows.
Oh, yeah. My God, because they would do, like, medleys at the beginning of the show where they were, you know, because he was a little bit, she was a little bit country and he was a little bit rock and roll.
Of course, yeah.
But the problem was he was never, not even remotely, a little bit rock and roll. Until he appeared on a Jeff Beck song in the 80s. And I can't remember the name of the song, but he appeared on a Jeff Beck song in the 80s, and it was great. And he actually literally, first time, was a little bit rock and roll.
Didn't they do, a pseudo-rock song?
Oh, yeah. The Osmonds did. We played it, too. Somebody requested it, too. Like, it was the Osmonds rocking out.
Right. It had to do something with a horse, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right. And it had to do with it. That was as close to rock as they got. But I would love the songs that they would cover on the Donnie and Marie variety show, because in the 70s, obviously, everybody on Earth had a variety show, including a couple of mimes, which I always thought was fantastic. Shields and Yarnell. I have an idea. Let's give a variety show to an act that doesn't talk. I think that would work out really well. But anyway, they would do these cover versions of these songs, and they were so awful. Like, they would try to do rock songs, and I can't remember which ones, but I mean, I think if you just Google terrible Donnie and Marie covers, I'm sure that some will pop up, because it was just but yeah, they were huge, man. They were huge, and they were like, they were teen, you know, like Donnie and all the Osmond brothers, especially Donnie, though, he was the standout. They were, you know, posters all over walls. My guess is I would imagine that Mary Vandeveld had a poster of the Osmonds on her wall. She was the target demographic. So that I'm just assuming. I don't know. We all know she loved Robbie Benson and still loves Robbie Benson. And that's around that same sort of time period.
I have a little bit of Crazy Horses.
Oh, here's Crazy Horses. The Osmonds rocking out. Whoa.
It's still clean, though. Dude, it still has that, like, ooh, clean, shiny feeling to it.
Is that Hendrix playing the lead on that? Because that's really smoking. That's a smoking guitar solo right there.
It reminds me of when Disney shows
try to rock.
Yeah, or they have, like, someone who's punk rock. And they just,
quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Esmeralda, first family she thought of, first siblings, she thought of the Osmonds, everybody. There are tons more of family, siblings, and famous ones, and we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. Wild Card Wednesday it is, man. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. So if I sound out of breath, it's because the elevator took longer, because I had to bring some stuff. I brought some stuff upstairs to the 7th floor just to put it away. And I brought a couple of things upstairs, and then I waited for the elevator, and I booked. I had to run down the hallway to get here, and I'm not in shape, so there you go. Hey, Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Any idea who that was, Esmeralda?
That was the Animaniacs.
That's right, yes. Brian requested the Animaniacs, Nations of the World. Didn't the Animaniacs, aren't they making a comeback, or am I nuts? Isn't there going to be new Animaniacs?
I had heard they're doing a reboot.
Yeah.
I love the Animaniacs. They were cool, and they were maniacs, and they were animated. See? So, thus the name. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Yesterday was National Siblings Day. How did you celebrate it if you have a siblings? We're talking about famous siblings. 312-981-7200. We want to get your thoughts here. The Osmonds, responsible for many teeth, and lots of really bad song medleys from 70s variety shows. And how about Esmeralda? Do you ever? I know you said you saw some of those things that are online.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see the comedy bits that they would do?
No.
Oh, they would do sketches and stuff, like wear crazy wigs, Donnie and Marie, and they would do crazy sketches and have their, you know, 70s guest stars do wacky sketch comedy. You know, we haven't talked about it in a really long time. I think we should do the topic of really bad variety shows, because there were so many of them. And the 70s, you know... If you could go back in time, Esmeralda, you should go back, get your DeLorean, go back to the 70s and watch some of those variety shows, because they're spectacular. They're so bad. Some of them were so, so bad. And like I said, everybody had a variety show. Yeah. So, yeah, Dan, we have to talk about bad variety shows at some point.
Sounds good.
Thank you. But anyway, they had, like I said, they gave a couple of mimes a variety show. Shields and Yarnell. They were a married couple, and they had a mime. They were mimes, but I think one of the most notorious variety shows of all time, and we'll get into this when we talk about the topic, like for in depth. But I've talked about this one before. Esmeralda, you remember me mentioning Pink Lady and Jeff?
Yes,
legendary, and that stuff's available online. It's amazing. So Pink Lady was these young Japanese girls who were really popular in Japan. They had hit songs, and they would sell out arenas and stuff. And so they were like, you know what, let's bring them to, and they can't speak English. They could barely speak English. They just, like, you know, could not, had to phonetically pronounce everything. So they could barely speak English, and some idiot at ABC said, I got a real good idea. Let's give them a variety show and team them up with edgy, up-and-coming comedian Jeff Altman. And the result is absolutely disastrous. If you can ever find it, ever find footage of it, and especially the episode where Jerry Lewis was the guest, oh my God, unbelievable. So anyway, all right, let's see. We've got some texters texting in about famous siblings and families and stuff. Steve says one of my favorite episodes of A&E Biography was on the Kellogg brothers. One invented cornflakes and the other ran the Battle Creek Sanitarium. Yeah, what's the name of the movie, Dan? I always forget the name of the movie. Cure for Wellness. That's that weird movie. That's that weird movie that came out.
Wellsville,
Road to Wellville. I love that movie so much, and it's so good, and six people saw it, and that's what it's about. It's one of my favorite Anthony Hopkins performances. I love that movie.
Didn't they have another sibling? Maybe it was just for the movie, but it was Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey was the crazy one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I don't know how historically accurate that was, but Dana Carvey was a loon in it. And Cusack was in it. John Cusack was in it. And I can't remember who else was in it. Was Matthew Broderick in it?
I think so.
Somebody Matthew Broderick-like. If it wasn't Matthew Broderick, it was somebody like Matthew Broderick.
Who's the chick from Single White Female?
Oh, Bridget Fonda.
I think
she's in it. Yes, Bridget Fonda's in it. I really like that movie. Alan Parker directed it. Alan Parker, known for his comedic skills. you know, director of Mississippi Burning, which, you know, was hilarious. And director of Midnight Express, which I still, every time I see it, I can't stop laughing. He was known for his comedic touch. Alan Parker is known for his comedic touch. I remember Roy hated that movie. I was laughing during the whole thing. When it was over, Roy just looked at me and went, "Did you like that movie?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I thought it was pretty great." Oh, my God.
Matthew Broderick was
it. It was Matthew Broderick. Okay. I want to say 94? Something like that? I think it was around that.
94.
Okay. All right. 224 area code says, how about President Jimmy Carter and his infamous brother, Billy? Yeah, that was a fun ride watching them deal with Billy Carter. Hey, does anybody have a six-pack of Billy beer left? Because you guys know that he had a beer, right? Billy Carter released his beer, and it was called Billy Beer. And Jimmy was thrilled with that. But yeah, Bill Clinton's brother Roger, wasn't he a nutcase too?
Yeah, he also had some issues.
He had some issues. There was let's not talk about the presidential brothers right now.
A vintage Billy Beer 6-pack, not open, not punched, 99 cents currently. Case is going for $43, your best offer.
99 cents for a full six-pack of Billy. I think that's how much it cost in the 70s. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's great.
If it's on the pull tab with the plastic ring, it goes up to 30, apparently.
Oh, the pull tab with the with the plastic ring, so it's when it's all together with the pull tab.
Right.
Because the pull tab was different back in the 70s. The pull tab disconnected from the can. Maybe you kids don't remember that, but the pull tab would come off. The metal pull tab would come off. I knew idiots in the 70s. This was the 70s, man. I don't know how the hell anybody survived that decade. I swear to God, I really don't. Who would take the metal pull tab? You would go pull the thing off. And it was on. They had it on cans of pop, cans of beer, all that stuff. And now, obviously, as you know, the pull tab, you pull it and it's still connected. It stays connected. I don't know when that was invented. I think that was invented in the late 70s, the current pull tab that does not get peeled away from the can and is like this shard of little sharp metal that you would eventually step on in the yard during like a barbecue in your bare feet and cut your foot open because they would just take the metal pull tab and throw it on the ground. And then you've got this little mini sharp piece of metal. People walking around barefoot, oh, damn it, I stepped on the pull tab. Then you bleed all over the floor. Wrap your foot in some gauze and drink some more Billy beer. That's how it works in the 70s. So I would know people that, Esmeralda, you know what I'm talking about, right? These pull tabs that come off?
Yeah.
Little sharp shards of metal. And my idiot friends and people who are older than me, 70s, you know, people who were like 18, 19 in the 70s, would just drop the pull tab in their can of beer or in their pop. They would drop it in. Like, they just drop it in, and so there's this little metal shard floating around in their beer that at any point they could mistakenly swallow. This was a common practice in the 70s for people to drop their metal pull tabs into the can of beer or can of pop.
I mean, you're beating each other with the
fluorescent lights
the
and car, stuff.
Yeah, the fluorescent lights, the Matchbox car tracks.
Hot Wheels.
Throwing jarts at each other.
Yeah, jarts were fun. You could get one stuck in your foot. It was awesome.
It seems the pop tab thing seems very innocent.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, but that was just like par for the course. Or throw them on the ground. Like, literally. Because in the 70s, littering was a major, you know, that was a hobby of people in the 70s. Just tossing crap out of the car. You know, you guys remember that PSA with the crying Native American on the side of the road because people are throwing... That's real. That was real in the 70s. In the 70s, it was disgusting. And I've told you this before. Nobody cleaned up after their dogs in the 70s, so there's dog crap all over the sidewalks, everywhere. It's like an obstacle course. People throwing, you know, bags of McDonald's out the window on the highway. That's why it's... You know, the Anchorman is very accurate. Oh, this burrito is filling, but this burrito is delicious, but it is filling, and he throws the burrito out and hits Jack Black. That stuff probably happened, you know, on a regular basis in the 70s. That's a regular thing. Yeah, there's no I don't care if there's a garbage can. I'm just going to throw this thing, you know, whip the can out the window. Or that was just a regular thing. The 70s were disgusting, man. They were disgusting. There was garbage. There was crap everywhere. And pull tabs on the floor, you know, on the ground at a barbecue, and you step on them. That was a common injury in the 70s, stepping on metal pull tabs. Billy Beer, baby. 99 said, come on, we could chip in for that, right?
Give you 10 cents.
10 cents for, you can chip in for a 99-cent six-pack of Billy Beer, unopened Billy Beer. Could you imagine how that tastes? Could you imagine that? Probably tastes pretty much the same as the beer. I had a Billy Beer a long, long time ago, and it was not delicious.
Probably just tastes like tin.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, siblings, Jimmy, Billy, Carter, how about that? And more coming up. Oh, Esmeralda, someone wanted to remind you of your favorite siblings, Esmeralda. 630 area code says, how about Esmeralda's favorite football siblings, the Peytons?
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. the Mannings.
They're great.
Yes, the Peytons. That was really funny yesterday. That was really, really funny. The Peytons. All right, we got a break. Famous Siblings National Sibling Day was yesterday, and that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. We're breaking for weather and traffic. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. That's the great Warren Zevon, who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Steve and Racine requested that. That's A Certain Girl. I'm glad he didn't request Nighttime at the Switching Yard. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about siblings, famous siblings, and seriously accomplished sets of siblings, families, and all that stuff. 312-981-7200. Yesterday was National Siblings Day. Tomorrow is, more importantly, is National Only Child Day. So we'll have to celebrate that in some way. A couple more texts here. 630 area code says, Karen and Richard Carpenter. Yeah, they were awesome. Karen Carpenter, voice of an angel. And she played drums. She was awesome. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin said, the Nelsons, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson, Ricky Nelson, Tracy, the Nelson Rock Group. Yeah, Nelson. They had some hair back in the day, Nelson. Oh, man. Okay, let's see. How about this one? How about the Brothers Grimm, Esmeralda? They were accomplished.
They were?
Yeah. Even if you know
they
nothing.
They got that movie.
By the way, that was a good movie. That's a really underrated movie. Terry Gilliam directed that. Matt Damon, Heath Ledger. This crazy sort of fantasy movie based on the Brothers Grimm, told in the style of the Brothers Grimm stories. Have you seen it, Esmeralda?
I have not.
It's really good. Dan, have you seen it? Nobody's seen it. You haven't seen it.
I have not.
Nobody's. I don't even think Heath Ledger saw it when he was alive. I don't think anybody saw it. Even if you know nothing about the Brothers Grimm, you've no doubt read versions of the fairy tale and folk tales that they've compiled. Born in modern-day Germany in 1785 and 86, Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm were young boys when their father died. Their family struggled financially, but both brothers were able to study law at the University of Marburg. Jacob went on to work at his professor's as his professor's library assistant. He later became the royal librarian to the new king of Westphalia. And Jerome Napoleon Bonaparte, Napoleon's younger brother. Wilhelm worked as his brother's library assistant because Napoleon had recently conquered much of Germany. The two brothers wanted to help their fellow Germans preserve their culture's stories. After gathering folk tales and from books and committing oral stories to paper, the Brothers Grimm published collections of these stories, including Snow White, Hansel and Gretel, and Rumpelstiltskin. Besides working together, Jacob also lived with Wilhelm and his wife, and Wilhelm named his first son Jacob before they died. The Brothers Grimm gave lectures and began work on comprehensive German dictionary. So there you go. There's a little bit of facts about the Brothers Grimm. Those stories are really twisted, man. You know, they really are. Those are some, you know, they were children's fairy tales that were really twisted and really, really dark and pretty awesome. Let's see. 312-981-7200. is the phone number if you want to talk famous siblings on the day after National Sibling Day. 815 area code says, the Osmonds were discovered by Andy Williams. They were famous for doing a scene on the show in one take. Really? Wow. Andy Williams discovered the Osmond. I didn't know that they were one take Osmond. That's what they used to call them. 219 area code says, what about Dick and Jerry Van Dyke? Yeah, you got to love those guys. Jerry Van Dyke passed away, right? Didn't he pass away just recently? Am I nuts?
I think you are correct.
Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke just turned like 94 or something, and he's still running around.
Jerry passed away in January of this year.
Yeah, I remember. That was sad. Dick and Jerry Van Dyke. 316 area code said, would the Smothers brothers count as famous siblings? Yeah.
Are they not brothers?
They're brothers and they're famous.
Maybe they think they're not brothers.
They are absolutely brothers.
No, but I mean, like, that's maybe they're thinking it's just a stage name.
Yeah, it's not. They are in real life. They are bros. They may even, in fact, be bro-hams. And I think a lot of people forget how controversial and political the Smothers Brothers were. A lot of people just think back and go, oh, the Smothers Brothers, you know. They were doing political and anti-Vietnam humor on their show at a time when it was not popular to do so. They were making statements about what was going on in Vietnam at a time when there wasn't a lot of, you know, now there's political comedy on every single night and people doing, you know, jokes about what's happening in the world and, you know, making cracks about the president and stuff. That stuff didn't happen back then, you know, especially when the conflict was still happening. And so they caught a lot of flack. The Smothers Brothers caught a lot of flack. And I think, in fact, their show got canceled because of because of the content of the show. They were cutting edge, man. They may have looked, you know, like they may have looked, you know, clean cut and, you know, corny, you know, and they sang songs and stuff and they had, you know, wacky byplay as older and younger brother byplay. But their stuff was infused with politics. So they were great, Smothers Brothers. Okay. We have to take a break here, and we've got the news, which is coming up next. And then after the news, we'll talk more famous siblings and accomplished siblings. And you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we'll take a break for the news, which is coming up after this. Jen Bosworth's husband, Miles, has selected this song by Marlo Thomas. Glad to have a friend like you. That's Marlo Thomas? That girl? Wow. Never heard that before. That's wild. Because it's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. Not talk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and Wild Card Wednesday requests. Any artist, any song, anything. That certainly qualifies. Yesterday was National Siblings Day. And everybody celebrated here on the show. And we're talking about famous siblings and siblings that accomplished many things. Canadian Bill said that the Osmonds can be found with Tony Orlando in Branson. That's not surprising to me. All 50 Osmonds? Is it all 50 of the Osmonds on stage? There's almost as many Osmonds as there are Earth, Wind, and Fire members.
Sometimes they interchange.
They do. God, I can't imagine any of the Osmonds in Earth, Wind, and Fire. They are the whitest people.
They put them in the back. No one really notices.
Stand in the back. They can't even dance. It's like, what are you doing on stage with Earth, Wind, and Fire? Jeez. 608 area code says, how about the late, great Charlie Murphy, who I personally think was funnier than Eddie? Charlie Murphy was hilarious. Charlie Murphy was absolutely hilarious. There's no question about it. He was really funny. I mean, you know, the stuff that he did on Chappelle's show, clearly the Rick James, you know, the Rick James story is just one of the funniest things ever. Yeah, he was funny. Charlie Murphy was really funny, and he looked exactly like Eddie Murphy. Didn't he, Esmeralda? He looked, I mean, like, you could say, oh, yeah, they were definitely brothers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He was funny, man. Very, very funny dude. Mike from Novak Construction. How about siblings with different names? Oh, putting a little twist on it, like Peter Graves and James Arnaz. And Albert Brooks and Super Dave Osborne. Yeah. It's Albert Brooks and Dave. Well, Super Dave Osborne's actual name is Bob Einstein. And they are indeed brothers. Super Dave Osborne and Albert Brooks are brothers. And but his real name is Bob Einstein. And so you can see why Albert Brooks changed his name to Brooks. You know, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Albert Einstein. No, that's not going to work. I think I'm going to go by the name Brooks. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that they are brothers, and both are hilarious in completely different ways. And Albert Brooks, of course, you know, comedic genius, one of the greatest American comedic filmmakers to ever live. Oh, here's a good one. 847, how about Rick and Paul Rushell from the Cubs? Yeah, man! You love those guys. Don says, what about Randy Macho Man Savage and Leapin' Lanny Poffo? That's right. A lot of people don't realize that they were... Those are obviously wrestlers. People know Macho Man, obviously. Esmeralda, you know who Macho Man was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know Leapin' Lanny Poffo?
I did not.
Yeah. Dan, did you know Leapin' Lanny Poffo?
No, I didn't.
He was good. He was good. He used to do poetry and stuff. But he clearly... It was hard to imagine them being related because, of course, he didn't do the, oh, yeah. He didn't do the, you know, macho thing. 773 area code says Serena and Venus Williams. Classic. 815 area code, Eric and Julia Roberts. Yeah, you know, nobody ever talks about Eric Roberts. There was a time when Julia Roberts was Eric Roberts' sister. Like, nobody knew who she was when she first started on the scene. She was like Eric Roberts' little sister, because Eric Roberts at one point did have a career, a promising one and a good one. And I still think that he's a great actor, Eric Roberts. He's done a lot of terrible movies, but he's a great actor, and he had some weird stuff happen in his personal life.
He's really dominated lately music videos.
Oh, yeah. He's in a lot of rap videos. Yeah, yeah, he's in a lot of hip-hop videos. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but... But, I mean, he hasn't really worked very... I mean, you know, he does a lot of straight-to-video crap, like movies. Meanwhile, Julia Roberts is now, you know, Eric Roberts is now Julia Roberts' brother. Or Emma Roberts' father. They say that, too. That's like, you know, it's like, who's that guy? That's Emma Roberts' father. But you go back and look at some of the performances that Eric Roberts gave, particularly Star 80 and Runaway Train, Pope of Greenwich Village. There was a time when Eric Roberts was the man. You know, I saw him live on Broadway, Esmeralda. He was in a show, a play called Burn This. And the guy who originated the role, it's a great play, the guy who originated the role was Malkovich, John Malkovich. It was John Malkovich and Joan Allen. So my buddy and I went to New York to see it. And we saw him with Malkovich, and it was amazing. He was unbelievable. And then, like, his replacement was Eric Roberts. And at the time, this was the mid to late 80s. At the time, Eric Roberts was still the man. And so we're like, hey, let's go back to New York and see Burn This again. But this time it'll be Eric Roberts. It'll be awesome. So this was at the time when Eric Roberts was having a little private life issues. You know, some substance abuse issues and some really bad relationship problems and some abuse issues and things like that. He was going through a really rough time and was losing a lot of work for it. But he did get this Broadway gig to come in and replace Malkovich. So my friend and I go, and we're standing on the street. We're going to meet a couple of girls for some drinks before the play. And we're standing, we were going to meet in front of the theater where the play was going to be performed, and then we were going to get a drink across the street. So we're standing in front of the theater, my friend and I, and all of a sudden, staggering down the street, about 2 hours before curtain, is Eric Roberts. And he's with some chick. And we're standing there. My friend who was my friend had a big mouth. He was one of these guys who would go up and talk to anybody. He didn't care. So we're standing there and in front of the theater, and I'm like, I think that's Eric Roberts. And he looked a little smashed, quite frankly. And he was kind of staggering down the street with this girl. And he's got to do a show in 2 hours. Curtain is in 2 hours. So, and he's eating a cup of Haagen-Dazs ice cream. I'll never forget this. It's Eric Roberts with some chick. He appeared to be drunk. I don't know if he was. And he's eating Haagen-Dazs ice cream, and he walks up, and my friend, idiot, my friend goes, hey, Eric Roberts! He screams, hey, Eric Roberts! We got second row, man. We got second row for tonight's performance. And Eric Roberts just kind of looks at him, like with this look of disdain and disgust. You know, like, shut up, man. Like he goes, hey, man. Points at the ice cream and he goes, what flavor are you eating? And so Eric Roberts just looks at him, throws the ice cream cup into a garbage can and goes, F you, man, F off, and then staggered into the theater. And we're standing there silent for like 35 seconds, just kind of looking at each other. And then I just went, that's the greatest thing that could have ever, it's exactly what I hoped would have happened. Because like I said, at that time, Eric Roberts was going through some weird personal stuff and had a really bad reputation. So for that to be the exchange that we had with him, I was like, that is absolutely fantastic. So that was the only time that I ever crossed paths with Eric Roberts, my idiot friend. Hey, what flavor are you eating? So then we see the show, all right? So, and now we had seen it with Malkovich, and we knew the play. Eric Roberts skipped, like, tons of dialogue. He came out. He was going up on his lines. He, like, there was a monologue that was supposed to be delivered 2 seconds after he makes his first entrance. Gone. He skipped right over it. The show ended up running about 15 minutes shorter than when Malkovich was in it because of the material that Eric Roberts kept skipping. And Joan Allen is on stage with this guy. Joan Allen, obviously one of the greats of all time, is on stage with this guy. And she's, like, adding lines to what she's saying to explain plot points that he's missing to the audience to cover his ass. So evidently he was a little messed up on something. He had great energy on stage, and he was better in the second act than he was in the first act, because I think he was a little more sober in the second act than he was in the first act. And if you ever see Burn This, and it's a really great play, if you ever see Burn This, it's got one of the greatest entrances of all time. Like, the character that Eric Roberts and John Malkovich played, eventually Scott Glenn played that part too, has one of the greatest entrances ever. Like, they build up this entrance. They talk about this character, you know, for a long time. And then suddenly, he's banging on the door. It's like this huge, where it's like this big dramatic smashing on the door, busting on the door, and the door kicks open. And then he flies in and has these big dramatic moments. Eric Roberts did a really nice entrance. Then he forgot his lines. Anyway, that's my run-in with Eric Roberts. That would be Julia Roberts' brother on Sibling Day. All right. We got a break here for weather and traffic. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Christina picked, what is this? Free height? Fry height? It's called Keeping the Dream Alive. F-R-E-I-H-E-I-T. Yeah. Where are these people from, Dan? Do you know Pittsburgh? I don't know why.
Obviously.
That's the Pittsburgh sound. That's what I hear.
Let's see here. It's a German word for liberty and political freedom.
Oh, all right.
It does not seem like they have their own Wikipedia page. There is Santa Claus imagery in the video, so there's that aspect to it.
All right. So that's free height. I'm mispronouncing it because I can't speak. I can barely speak English. I only know one language.
I'm trying to get your girl up to
the sexy girl to pronounce it?
I don't think she specializes in German words.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But Christina Freiheit. Knows who they are. What?
Freiheit.
Freiheit. Okay.
Freiheit.
Wow. What was that? Was he possessed by the devil? What was that? Do that one more time.
Freiheit.
That's terrifying. What the hell, man?
Freiheit.
That's okay. What? Go back to the demon.
Freiheit.
That's another demon. What is
Freiheit?
Wow, the power of Christ compels you, man. Holy cow, Reagan! What's going on there? Linda Blair? Did she?
I thought he was being sultry.
No, you thought that was sultry? I thought demon possession immediately. Dan, did you?
Freiheit.
That's terrifying. What? Is that the demon pronunciation site? What would it?
That was Wellenreiter who pronounced that one.
Oh, all right.
This is Tohantanas.
Freiheit.
By the way, this is the most publicity this band has ever gotten in their entire career. That's just five different ways of demons pronouncing their name. Wonder if they're siblings. That would be pretty cool. You think these guys who are pronouncing it are all related, or all siblings? I think they're all related to the devil, quite frankly. All right. A few more texts here. Canadian Bill says the Hanson brothers, also known as the Carlson brothers, from Slapshot. Now, you know what's really, you want to know a little tidbit, Dan?
Yes.
Two of the guys are brothers, one is not. There are three Hanson brothers in the movie Slapshot. There are three Hanson brothers. Two are brothers and one is not. The two that are brothers are actually, their last name is Carlson. What do you think the other guy's last name is?
Hanson.
It's Hanson. That's right. See how that was? That movie rules, by the way. 708 area code, the Neville brothers. Yeah. I still think that Horatio Sands' impression of Aaron Neville is one of the funniest things ever. Do you remember, Esmeralda, do you remember his impression of Aaron Neville?
Vaguely.
He was always putting cocoa butter on his arms.
By the way, he was here, Horatio.
Yeah, he's in town.
Yeah.
And he stopped by. He was on, I think he was on Justin's show.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the home opener, and he's doing a speaking thing Thursday night at the Saturday Night Live exhibition at the Museum of Broadcast. So that's cool. And he's doing it on, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's the National Only Child Day. So, Horatio Sands.
For you?
Just for me, yeah. Mm. Herb from Maryland said the Cowsills. Oh, yeah, the Cowsills, entire family. 630 area code, the Gibbs. Do you still have that poster of Andy Gibb, Esmeralda?
It's, well, I don't know where that record is. It's probably in the basement hole.
The basement hole at your parents' house.
Yeah.
There is a, hidden in there is like a KTEL collection of songs, and there's a poster of Andy Gibb in there. You got to hang on to that. That's because
I could probably sell that.
Probably $40,000 I would imagine you could get for a poster of Andy Gibb.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Derek the truck driver says, how about Jeff and Bo Bridges? Absolutely. Awesome. Did you guys ever see the Fabulous Baker Boys? Dan, you ever see the Fabulous Baker Boys?
Bits and pieces of it.
With Jeff and Bo Bridges. Michelle Pfeiffer. Esmeralda, you ever see that movie?
I didn't.
It is a great movie. I mean, well, Jeff Bridges is in it, so immediately it's good because he's my favorite actor. Gary says the Marx Brothers. Absolutely. 815 area code says Eddie and Alex Van Halen. Yeah. That's right. Very popular. Esmeralda, did you know that Mozart had an older sister named Maria?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't know that either, and I've seen Amadeus 9,000 times. And then, I know I should probably do more. If I want to know more about Mozart, I should probably just not rely on the movie and not read like actual things, but watch the Milos Forman movie over and over again. And that's the real story. That's the real story of Mozart. I love that movie, man. I love that movie. Esmeralda, have you seen Amadeus?
I have, yeah.
Oh, man, I love that movie. And I don't, it's not too long. In fact, I think it's too short. Should have been 7 hours long. And nobody knew who F. Murray Abraham was at that time. He ended up winning the Best Actor Oscar for that. Nobody knew who he was. That's the movie that made him. But I don't think there's a mention. There's not a mention of an older sister at all. So there you go. How about this? We all know about this one. Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren. You guys know that? You know that one, right, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
That they were identical twin sisters. They were born in Iowa, identical twin sisters, Esther and Pauline Friedman. They grew up to write the most famous syndicated advice columns of all time, Ask Ann Landers and Dear Abby. In 1955, Esther won a contest to become the new Ask Ann Landers columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, taking over for the original writer, Ruth Crawley. Although Pauline initially helped her sister with the column, she soon started her own advice column for the San Francisco Chronicle using the pseudonym Abigail Van Buren. Both sisters gave letter readers clear-cut advice on everything from relationships to social etiquette. Their words of wisdom were so close that they had a double wedding. Their professional rivalry seeped into their personal lives, and they were estranged from each other on and off for years. My advice is better than your advice on which napkin to use when having dessert. Here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right, man. What's up?
Well, you got the Dodge brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The Wright brothers.
All the Wright brothers, obviously, yes.
The Davisons.
Okay.
Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
And the Gabor sisters.
Oh, the Gabor sisters. That's right, the Gabor sisters, who between, I think between them they had like, and I'm not exaggerating, I think 12 marriages between them.
Yeah, oh, probably. And you got the Smith brothers with their cough drops.
Oh, sure. All right, thank you. Thank you, Jim. Those are good ones. You know, my favorite line, I'm not a, you know, as you guys know, I'm not a massive fan of Robin Williams. I was never a big fan of Robin Williams, but that there's a line in Good Morning Vietnam where there's the two guys with the beards, the twins with the beards, and he called them the Smith brothers. I remember, I love you, he said something like, "Hey, I love your cough drops," or "I use your cough drops all the time." He said something like that to them. And I remember busting out laughing in the screening room for that particular line. So Smith called the guys the Smith brothers. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up next right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Keith in Kansas has requested Jan Terry with Losing You. Do not know Jan Terry. Is there Santa Claus imagery on this one, Dan? Or
not that I can see.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Having some fun here talking about famous siblings, maybe siblings that you didn't know were siblings, and we got a whole bunch more to talk about. Yesterday was National Siblings Day, and a lot of people celebrated. I saw all over social media people showing pictures of them and their brothers and sisters and all that cool stuff. And by the way, for all of us only children, tomorrow is National Only Children Day, so we need to celebrate that. But yeah, so we've been talking about famous siblings and families and Hollywood people and historical siblings as well. And we'd love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 o'clock. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 with the great Steve Cochran. We'll have your morning drive starting at 6 right here on WGN. 312-981-7200. All right. We got a lot of texts that have been coming in about sibling day. 708 area code says the Vaughn brothers, as in Stevie Ray and Jimmy. Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. And don't forget Ramon Estevez, the much forgotten Estevez brother. And he's an actor. And, of course, Martin Sheen is their dad. You would have to say, what Dan, you would be their finest work, Men at Work, where Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen play. Directed by Emilio Estevez.
That is a quality film right there.
Play Garbage Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another HBO special.
I know. I knew that. That was on cable all the time. All the time. I bet Esmeralda's seen it because it's been on cable all the time. You ever seen Men at Work with Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez where they play Garbage Man?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've seen probably bits and pieces, but never the whole thing.
Oh, okay, because it was one of those cable staples. Like, that thing was on constantly. So I thought maybe you saw it.
Was it on Comedy Central?
Well, it was specifically, I don't know. I knew it was a cable thing, like HBO kind of a thing all the time. Was it cold up in the hut?
Yes.
Okay. It's warm down here.
Really? Because I just came in and I could feel the...
Well, actually, you know what? Here's the thing. When we start, this is kind of what happens every day, usually. There's never a medium, you know what I mean? It's either really cold or really hot. But it's always hot when I get here. Like, we get here at around 12:15, 12:30. Always hot in here.
Maybe because nobody's been in here?
I don't know. Justin was in. Justin leaves like a half an hour before we get here, an hour before we get here.
Oh, well, I don't know.
So, but it's always hot. And then as it progresses, and I'm uncomfortable for the first 2 hours of the show, it's too warm because I don't like things. I like it cool. I don't like warm things. But then, like, we get into, like, this part of the show, like, 4 o'clock, and then mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm about to leave, and it's comfortable.
Well, I'm assuming it's the building's air or whatever is turning on or off.
Well, that's the thing about I don't know if it's there, but when Brandmeier used to work here,
mm-hmm.
And when, because he hated working in this studio because people could see him.
Well, yeah, he's a bit like... He's a bit like a dog, and just any little flashing light or anything will grab his attention.
Oh, no,
and then
yeah. But to have people outside course. And he never, you know, he, you
right,
know,
it would, it's just too much.
He wanted to cover all the windows. He doesn't even want to look at his producer. Like, he doesn't make eye contact. I mean, I couldn't imagine not being able to see Dan and, you know, make eye contact with him and communicate.
Right.
I couldn't imagine that. But he just wants to be alone in his hut. Everything covered, all the windows covered. So anyway, when he worked down here, one of his things was that he loved it really cold. And, like, really cold. And I still think that there's some remnants of that left over here. Because it gets really cold. It gets really cold in this.
I could see that, because if it's morning and then to, like, stay awake.
Well, like, Brandmeier needs something to keep him awake.
You know what I mean? Like, to kind of, I don't know, keep you on your toes.
Like, Brandmeier needs something to keep him on his toes. He's the
Maybe that was the secret.
He was the most hyper person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, well, it was because he was in a freezer all day.
I remember when I would be going off the air and he was on upstairs and he in Studio B and we'd be in Studio A. We'd finish and we'd be walking out. I'd be walking out. He would be tearing ass down the hallway.
Yeah.
Like, running down the hallway. Yeah, he almost killed me twice. Like, I'm making a bit.
That was his normal way, yeah.
Remember the row? Like, how he thought...
Oh, yeah, we had a knife fight.
You had a knife fight.
I pulled a knife on Brandmeier. We had a little...
Because, you know, Nick espouses the Esmeralda way of walking, where you just look angry and don't smile and just, I'm on a mission to get to the door. And so, and then Hyper Chicken Johnny walks by and, you know, they
Hyper
bump
Rooster.
Into Hyper Rooster. And so, you know, there was some contention.
Yeah, it was funny because he made a bit out of it, like a running gag where it was like, he's always mean to me.
Nick DiGilio
is mean to me.
Did you knives and...
We didn't do anything. I almost bumped into him and he was running down the hallway, and this happened like twice. You know, during a transition, nothing happened. Like, hey, Johnny, oh, hey, ho, ho, and then he'd run away. And then all of a sudden, he makes up a storyline on his show that I pulled a knife on him and that I hate him.
Until you hugged it out in the hallway.
We did hug it out in the hallway. So
you hug fought.
Yes. But we really did truly hug it out.
That's nice.
All right. Here are some famous, you ready for some famous Hollywood siblings, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
Kardashians.
Right.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah.
The weigh-ins. How many weigh-ins are there? There's 46 of them, right?
Yeah, they're very on par. They should all have some sort of competition. The weigh-ins, the Osmonds.
Yeah. The weigh-ins. There's a lot of weigh-ins.
Who else is there?
Oh, you mean in
Jacksons.
Like, the Jacksons, yes. The Olsons, there's three of them.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot. The Arquettes.
Three or more. There you go, the Arquettes.
Yeah, there were four of them. How about Owen and Luke Wilson? There's only two of them.
Mm.
The Baldwins.
Oh, right,
The Baldwins, for God's sake. The Alec, Daniel, Stephen, Billy.
Mm-hmm. The, who's the Thor?
Oh, the Hemsworths.
Yeah.
The Hemsworths. Because
they got the three, but then they have another one, right?
There's four Hemsworths. There's four Hemsworths, and they're all handsome.
Well, yeah.
Like, ridiculously handsome. Like, what's going on in that gene pool?
Magic. That's what's going on.
Who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Baldwin?
I guess that's tough.
It's Alec, right? I love Alec.
He's all right.
I love him.
I guess.
Well, Daniel Baldwin is responsible for At Your Leisure, Bro. The reason I say when you listen to podcasts, that have I ever told you that story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess Alec is the least of.
What about Billy? He's all cute.
Is he? Oh, Steven's the one who's religious.
Yeah, Steven's the one who kind of lost his mind.
All right, I'll go with Billy.
But you know what? Stephen Baldwin is in Threesome, so I will always love him because I love. You ever see that movie?
No.
Lara Flynn Boyle, Josh Charles, and Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
Great movie. Great. Also featuring Alexis Arquette, oddly enough.
Oh. Billy is in...
Black Draft. Blast Door Draft.
Oh, I was going to say Sliver.
He's in Sliver as well. That's right. With Sharon Stone.
Sliver.
Oh. Get to see a close-up of his buttock in that movie.
Oh, I didn't... The last time I saw it, was on...
Basic.
It was on TV, yeah. So I didn't get to see
it. You saw about 40 minutes of it then. how about Kevin Dillon and Matt Dillon?
Who's Kevin Dillon?
Drama on Entourage.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's Matt Dillon's brother.
Oh.
What does that mean?
I just, you know, compared to Matt Dillon. That's, ugh.
He's in a great movie called Heaven Help Us, which is about being in a Catholic, a boys' Catholic high school in the 60s.
Right. Yeah.
You were Andrew McCarthy was in it. Mary Stuart Masterson. A great movie. And he's hilarious in it.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever noticed him was in that movie. How about the Quaids? Dennis Quaid and crazy-ass Randy Quaid.
Gosh, these are kind of almost like, you know, I don't want to say good and bad, but...
They've all gone nuts. Somebody...
There's the decent one and then the... Ooh.
Then someone who went loopy.
Right.
How about the Simpsons? Jessica and Ashley. Oh. Well, you think of Bart and Lisa?
Yeah, those siblings. Oh, that's right.
Let's see. The Hudsons. Oliver and Kate.
Or are they both Hudson?
Oliver Hudson and Kate Hudson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And son. He's on that show with Jenna Fisher where they broke up, but they're divorced, but they're still living together.
Oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's funny on that show, man. He's funny. And their stepfather is Kurt Russell.
Hmm. What about the Rooneys? Or no, wait.
Yeah, Kate Rooney and Mara Rooney.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in Chappaquiddick right now.
Which one?
Kate. Yeah, I have to specify which one.
What? I don't know which one's in.
No, I know. So I had to. I was remiss. Yeah. She. Guess which one is in Chappaquiddick. I think Rooney Mara is a great actress. I loved her in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I loved her in that movie.
Oh, okay. She's the one with like.
Yeah.
Social
Network.
Tiny face.
Yeah. She's teeny.
Yeah.
Social Network.
And then the other one was, she was in the Netflix thing.
Yes.
House of Cards.
Yes. Yes. All right. We got to take a break here for weather and traffic. And we've got more famous brothers and sisters.
Are they related to the girl from Teen Witch?
Teen Witch?
Yeah. Robin Lively and Blake Lively.
Oh, Blake Lively and Robin Lively.
Oh,
is that who
okay.
you're thinking of? Because
yeah, but she kind of looks like the Rooneys.
No, well, you know what's weird is that
no, I'm thinking
Robin Lively and Blake Lively don't look anything alike, like
no,
at all.
They don't,
and there's a huge age gap between them because like Robin Lively has got to be like in her late 40s,
yeah,
and Blake Lively's like 30, like in her early 30s. So there's like a big gap between them. I mean, it's not like that's unusual. A lot of people, you know,
and they're also right. They're like a big family.
More Livelys?
I think there are more Livelys.
More popular Livelys?
I don't know if they're popular, but...
But they're lively.
Right. Yes.
All right. Who's Blake Lively married to now? Is it Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Ryan Reynolds, man.
Oh, yeah, they got a bunch. Jason, Lori, Eric, and Blake.
Wow. And Robin.
And they're all Livelys.
And
then her, yeah.
And then Robin, Teen Witch.
Mm-hmm. That's all I know her
That's
from.
All I know her from, too. All right, we got a break here. We got weather and traffic. And it's amazing. In the 70s, anything could be a hit. This was a big hit, this song. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! 773 area code requesting reunion with Life is a Rock, but the Radio Rolled Me. So... welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And Steve Grzanich coming up in just a little bit with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6 as your morning drive. We've been talking about famous siblings and sibling stuff because it was National Siblings Day yesterday. And 815 area code sends in a text that says, I never realized Shirley MacLaine and Warren Beatty were brother and sister. I read an article about them always being jealous of each other. Yeah, they're fantastic, those two.
Jealous of each other.
Well, huh. Both of them are very successful and very
right?
talented. So, Carrie says, Greg and Mike Maddox, they have 394 wins. Greg accounted for 355 of them. That was unnecessary, Carrie. and then Mike is forgotten, though he is an accomplished pitching coach now. What team is he coaching for?
He was with the Nationals, but I think he might have been let go when they let Dusty go.
Okay. In hockey, the Sutters, Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, Brent, Rich, Ron, six brothers, a collective 86 NHL playing seasons and six Stanley Cups. Nobody mentioned the Sedins, or as people who don't like them call them. Well, I'm not going to say what they call them. Peter Decatur says John and Joan Cusack. Yeah.
Oh, that's
there's also
right.
Bill Cusack. He's an actor. Yeah. Annie Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
Susie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Murrays.
Bill Murray. Oh, wow. Yeah. By the way, you know, the Murray brothers are opening up a Caddyshack themed bar and restaurant at the hotel where we do the flashback convention.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait till August because I think it opens in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll be open. I'm going to have some food and I'm going to go to the Caddyshack. It's called Caddyshack.
Do you think the waiters and the servers and the bartenders have to be characters? Like they're all Bill Murray.
I think they're all wearing Ted Knight's hat.
Yeah.
Cuz you get a free bowl of soup with it. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold it. It's a line from the movie Esmeralda.
Oh.
Wait, you buy a hat like this, you get a free bowl of soup. Oh, but it looks good on you, though. I could recite the whole movie if you'd like.
I don't think we have time.
Okay. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Hey,
how
buddy. All right, man.
All right. Olivia, I got a couple for you. Olivia de Havilland and Joan Fontaine.
Oh.
Had intense rivalry
that's
for years.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got Dorothy and Lillian Gish from Silent Era.
Right.
Bunch of Houstons. John Huston had a bunch of kids, Danny and Angelica, and there's one who went into directing, I think Anthony Huston.
Anthony Huston did go into directing. And yeah. Danny Huston works a lot.
Yeah, he does.
He works a lot. So.
Yeah, so I think there's somebody else, too, but I'm not sure who the other sibling is.
Well, there's a ton of them out there, man.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mike, good to hear from you, buddy.
All right, you take care, buddy.
Take care, man. There you go. How about this? Lake Geneva Dan. Famous race car drivers Michael and Daryl Waltrip.
Oh, no idea.
Leo says, how about the Daryl brothers from Bob Newhart? What was the other guy's name? I'm blanking. This is my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl. Larry. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. That's from the Newhart show.
Right.
That was a great show. The Stooges. Yes, that's right. The Baldwin brothers, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
What about Chris and Sean Penn? That's a good one. Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yep. Chris Penn can't dance in Footloose, and Kevin Bacon has to teach him.
Yes.
We have the Wahlbergs.
No.
There's a lot of them.
Three of them.
Well, yeah.
Some more?
Well, on the damn TV show.
Right.
There's, I think.
Oh, and then the other ones from New Kids on the Block. Jordan. Was it Jordan?
I don't know.
Jonathan? Jordan and Jonathan?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know the New Kids on the Block.
Do you remember, Dan?
The Knights?
Yes. Jordan Knight. Yeah, Jordan and Jonathan Knight.
I'm more of a Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet,
yeah,
right.
Because of
Do they have any? They don't
Wolfman.
Have any.
I don't think they have any siblings in there.
Oh, wait. Carter.
Nick and Aaron. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Good.
And
good
some sister.
Good catch.
Sister.
All right. How about Rob and Chad Lowe? Chad Lowe still crying over not being mentioned in that acceptance speech.
He's still in the theater.
He's still in the theater. He's sitting in the theater all by himself
waiting.
Didn't even show up at the divorce proceedings because he was just sitting. I don't think he even knew that he got divorced.
I don't think
he's
did.
He's just Hillary Swank is remarried.
She didn't, you know, she didn't name him.
He's so. Still in the. She didn't even name him in the divorce thing. I'm divorcing this guy. I don't know who he is. Just some divorcing some guy. I'd like to thank him for our marriage. And then, of course, the last one I'll say, the A-Flex with your Ben and your Casey.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to end on a high note for Esmeralda. All right. All right, Esmeralda. We will see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
I believe Skip Skipley will be flying in tomorrow. And we're going to talk pro wrestling with Keith Lipinski after WrestleMania week.
Very
I know
good.
You'll be fascinated by that. All right. See you tomorrow. Have a good night. We'll take a quick break here, and the news is next.